Welcome to Surviving Life with the Van Villies. My name is Danny Van Villy, and I am not alone in the building with my beautiful wife, Lady V.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be on the show for a very particular reason today. We're going to have Danny on the hot seat. Are you ready?
When you said you were excited, I knew I should not be in studio today.
I think you need to run. And if you were listening in last night between 6 and 6:30 p.m., you would have heard the introduction of today's conversation. The topic is called Men and Their Stuff. And essentially, the focus this morning is to ask men what it is like when you live in the world, but you're trying to live according to the Word. Very often, we take for granted that the Word of God is always being fought by the world and the programming that it gives all of us, especially from the time we're young. So today in our part one, where we look at men and how differently they can see the world versus how God wants them to see the world, we're going to be asking Danny a few questions. So I'm going to start, I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to say, Danny, what is the worldly programming that a young boy is given from the time that he's born that we take for granted as a society that shapes how they think about the world?
Well, Letitia, for us as men, from day one, we are encouraged to be successful. You know, it's get the house, get the job, have the wife, have the children, be the provider, you know, and being the provider is the constant theme of our lives, you know. And if you cannot provide, and especially financially, you are somehow deleted as a man. So I believe this is really the crux of the message and the programming we get, and it's the struggle and the thing you have to fight most when you get saved.
You know, oftentimes as believers, we take for granted that there is a masculine and a feminine perspective, even when we're reading the Word. It can be easy to rely on God when you are growing up in a society where you could rely on a dad, and it could be harder if you didn't have a dad. Those things are real, and that's what we're discussing today. The male perspective of what it's like to grow up in the world when you're trying to do it according to the Word.
Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Some local music there with King D Music, Worry About Nothing. If you're just joining us, we're talking about men and their stuff this morning, and we're just acknowledging what the walk with Christ can look like for a man who is constantly being given a specific programming by the world. Danny, you were saying that men are seen as valuable if they have stuff, if they have things. What did you mean by that?
You know, what I mean by this is our whole lives, you know, sometimes it can reach a point where you're no longer sure if you a human being or you're an ATM. Mm. You know, if you listen to even just go on social media, on TV shows, and whenever men are spoken about, it's not really their qualities. It boils down to what they can do, how they can perform, you know, and financially being the first measurement. But the humanity of the man is not really considered, you know. It's like he's an ATM, and if the ATM is functioning, if the money is coming out, then everyone is happy. And once the ATM is non-functional, you know, suddenly there's something wrong with the person. You know, and I don't even think they're saying the person, but the provision. You know, the provision is not coming out of him. You know, is he still a man?
Is he still a man if the provision is not coming out of him? You're saying a lot of things that sound so problematic for me when I think of scripture and how God wants us to see ourselves and walk with him. So when we come back, we're really going to delve into how does that mess with the mind of a man when you grow up in a world where you're told, if you have money, you're valuable, but you're worshiping and following a God who says, I want you. I don't care about your things. What is that confusion like for men in society?
Does God say that?
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Back me up. Come on, back me up.
You know, I have to put it like that because I'm sure a lot of guys listening just thought, what is she even talking about? And this is exactly why we go in this direction today. Men, tune in. If there's a brother out there who you think might need this conversation, allow them, you know, this opportunity. Send them the link to the show. Invite them to tune in as we discuss this. You are hanging out with the Vambilis. What's the name of the show again, Lady V?
We are talking about men and their stuff. If you were just joining us before we took a little bit of a music break, you would have heard Danny asking, is it even a thing that God wants men and he doesn't want their stuff? I'm sure if you're a believer, you can already see the scriptures that say, hey, come as you are. All I need is you and a willing heart. But I'm going to focus on Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, which says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, in today's society, as we speak about making space for people to be their authentic selves, when we're speaking about being our authentic selves in Christ Jesus, is society, are we as women and wives and sisters, etc., making the space for our men to build up treasures in heaven? Because the way it sounds like we as societies put so much precedence on the treasures that the moth can eat, that the rust can destroy, and the thieves can steal. And so to constantly tell men from the time that they're little, build up treasures on earth, build up treasures on earth, build up treasures on earth, and then we expect them to walk into church and to understand the concept that God is trying to say, no, the better treasure is in heaven. And that's got nothing to do with stuff. So as a woman, I'm reading this scripture. It sounds pretty self-explanatory. But listening to your experience as a man, I'm realizing that when a man is reading that, what is he thinking? Is he even realizing what this is saying to his context?
I think that the first question the man's mind will ask is, you know, do we believe that scripture as a church? Mm. You know, when we look at the way men who don't have stuff are treated, you know, the way they are dishonored, you know, it makes one question, you know, if this is really a truth that we believe as a body of Christ, you know, because a lot of men who are in that position or who maybe have experienced both sides of the coin begin to see that, no, the heart of the church currently is on the treasure that's
on earth. What do you
mean?
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is when, if a man is spirit-filled and he can, you know, do a lot, you know, spiritually, he is faithful and, you know, he's constantly at church, but he's jobless and he's broke and he's going through a patch in life where he doesn't have much stuff. We don't tend to treat them with honor. Mm. You know, we dismiss them. So it is then hard if we come back to the same man and say, as a church, we believe that, you know, you should store up treasures in heaven. His question would be, well, if that's the truth, why am I being treated this way? Why am I not being accepted or being treated the way I was treated when I had the stuff? You know, because this is a reality where many times when men lose the stuff, the last place they can actually go and get support and honor is the church. Because the ATM's not working anymore. You know, and that for me is where we need to sit down as men and say, you know what? Even if the majority of the churches right now have set their hearts on the treasures that's on earth, we mustn't lose sight that we're building for both now and for the afterlife.
Ooh, we're going in deep today. Gather everyone around you on Impact 103 with the Vambilis, and we're talking about stuff. So join us for some more.
Like I've never known, forever and ever, amen.
That was Shelter by Becca Falk, Tersha May, and Called Out Music. All of them together make the Manor Collective.
I love the fact that the song we were just listening to is called Shelter, because my next question to you, Danny, is you just made a very powerful statement just now. You said that men cannot run to the church when they find themselves in a position where they don't have material stuff. The question is, where then can you run? Where is your shelter? Because as we talk about the programming of men as opposed to the programming of the Word of God and how they are in direct contestation all the time, is there a place where you can go? Or do men feel like even their wives and their children and their friendship circles and society sees them as ATMs? You've got the story about men being groomed for success and how suddenly even the petrol attendants or the car guards call you Grootman when you've got a better car. So where can you even go to deal with not having stuff as a man and to know that you still have value?
Yeah, I think this is a very key lesson that we as men have to learn, because a lot of our surroundings are not genuine. You know, I tell a story about how a few years ago we bought this very interesting car, and I drove to Menlyn, and I'd been going to Menlyn since 2006. You know. And, you know, without asking anyone for help, I was directed to this whole VIP section.
Yeah.
That I didn't know even existed, you know. And, you know, the Grootman language was there. And you just realize, oh, wow, there's a different treatment for certain types of people. And when people perceive you to have money, to be in a better position, suddenly you treat it different. So, but that thing is also a trap in itself, because what happens when you lose that? You know, so as a man, you need to be careful that you're not building a circle around you that's there for your success, but not for you. You know, that's there to associate, but not to be with you in your lows. They won't stick closer than a brother.
I have a question. It's going to be controversial, but it has to be. I often feel like that statement is loaded because it goes beyond friendship for men. Mm. I feel like a lot of men marry that person who is not close as a brother, because your ability to attain a certain type of female is also contingent upon your pockets. Mm. And what we begin to see in a lot of marriages is we're here saying, love the Lord and love your spouse. And we're having all these conversations around the challenges and the blessings that come within marriage. But what we're not realizing is the foundation of some of these marriages and relationships is that men who were programmed adequately enough by the world then chose the kind of people who were attracted to their stuff. Mm. And then life starts happening within the marriage and you realize, I didn't marry a brother.
Sure.
What's that? What's that like?
I think that is scary. That is scary because a lot of men And this is sad to say, are not married to people who are there for them. They are married to people who are there for the stuff. And sometimes they only find out when
there's no stuff.
When the stuff is gone.
COVID.
When COVID comes. And the people will make all kinds of excuses or give all kinds of, I'm not happy anymore. But what made you happy in the first place? You know, were you happy with the person you found, or were you happy with what the person could provide for you in that season? Those are loaded realities that we have to, you know, discuss and ask ourselves, you know, is even things like the divorce rate of today a reflection of what we want? Because we're always talking about our happiness. And we've said to people, if you're not happy, go. But we've not asked what makes people happy. We'll be back.
That's Invitation by the Jesus Collective. You're on Impact 103 with Surviving Life with the Vambilis, as always on a Wednesday morning to a little bit of the afternoon. And today we've got Danny V on the hot seat as we talk about men and their stuff. During the break, I just had a thought that I realized is, there's so much programming, babe. There's so much subliminal and to your face programming that makes it hard for us to walk as believers, because we already believe intrinsically things that are not necessarily true. And one of the things that we all believe about men, and we don't know we believe it, so I hope the women don't come for me with a steak knife this afternoon, but we believe that men shouldn't speak. And I think that becomes a problem within our marriages. Because we live these lives, especially right now, where we are pushing the feminine voice because of things that happened in society that really we need it. We do need to have a more feminine voice, a more powerful voice and all of that. But we all know that it's going to an imbalanced place. And what that has created is that there's a lot of women speaking for men. So if I could speak for the secular space, people are losing their minds over these male podcasts. Everyone hates them. They feel like, you know, we're giving these men too much clout and everything. Now, the opinions may not exactly be godly, but I think that a lot of men have found spaces where they can actually express themselves on these platforms. And so even as you're talking this morning, it must be uncomfortable, but I'm realizing it must be uncomfortable for a lot of us women to hear a man speak and say, I feel like an ATM in my house. Now, the problem with that for me, if you as a woman feel uncomfortable with a man relating his reality, whether you agree with it or not, how can you cope in marriage? Are you saying that within your marriage, your spouse, who is a male, cannot express their truth? Because can you imagine living in the world where you're not used to a male voice? Suddenly you get married and this person wants a voice in the home. It must be so hard to even submit biblically when we have believed in error that men don't speak.
Sure. I think, Lady V, you are starting something else.
Let's start it.
You know, what's always interesting is, even when we do counseling, one of the biggest complaints is men don't talk.
By the wives, you
mean. By the wives, you know. But when they try to talk, they're silenced also because it doesn't sound right. So many women have spoken for men that even some of our actions are misunderstood. You know, like there's almost like a script that's written that says, if a man is doing this, this is what it means. But those scripts were written by women because of the absence of our voice. And now when you start talking, it's like the world's not ready. No, this is not with the script. This is not how you should speak. And it becomes difficult and uncomfortable, yet it's something that needs to be done, you know? I think a lot more men need to express their realities so that you're not guilty by silence. You know, just because you did not speak, just because we did not hear your side of the story, we can conclude that you're guilty. We can conclude that you even agree with what's being said about you. You know, so I think platforms like this, even the platforms that are getting it wrong, at least the conversations are starting.
Do you think God wants men to speak?
Yes. I think when you look at things like the suicide rates of men, you realize that there's so much that we carry and we feel ashamed of. We feel we can't speak about. We can't speak about failure. We can't speak about things that really hurt us. You can't even go to a police station as a man if you're being abused, because you'll be laughed at.
We need to get into this properly. We're about to go into the news in a bit, but join us for the second hour as we delve more into this topic.
Still Mighty by Leland. You hang out with the Vambillies. I am in the hot seat, and Lady V is not taking it easy on me.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a break just for now, just so you can breathe, you can exhale a little bit, you know?
Ooh.
I think it's interesting that we've got Mother's Day, we've got Father's Day, so that balances. But we've got Women's Day and we don't have Men's Day. Now, I know what the argument is going to be, that it's already a man's world, and so we need a space, a special day for women, etc. But I don't think the term "it's a man's world" is as real as it used to be, because we're now pushing the male child to a place of absolute obscurity in many, many different ways. And so I think a time is coming when a men's day is going to be necessary, just so the men can feel like they have value. I'm going to read Galatians 3 verse 28 to prove this point. When scripture says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I think we forget about this when we're talking about the struggles of men, because we treat it as if a woman is struggling, everybody must gather. You strike a woman, you strike a rock, you need to listen to her, you need to listen to her afflictions and her pain to really quell the pain and the isolation that can come from being a woman. But when men want to have this conversation and when men want to speak about the things that hurt them, it's almost like they're seen as sissies. But like we said in the first hour, the suicide rates and the depression rates, they say completely otherwise. And as believers, when we live in a word that even says that husbands and wives should submit to one another, what does that even mean to a man who lives in a world where he is so much told, you need to do this, 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 this? And Jesus would often say to his disciples, leave everything and follow me. That now sounds different to me for a guy. Because if you have your whole life and value and goals around your things, when Jesus comes to me and says, leave your things and follow me, as a woman, I'm even programmed to change my name when I get married. So I'm like, listen, I'm going to leave everything. I'm going to become Letitia Jesus. I'm going to leave my name, my daddy. But for a man, and this is what I was saying at the beginning of the show, we take for granted that scripture can become incredibly difficult to relate to based on the masculine and feminine programming of this world. It cannot be easy for a man to, quote unquote, leave everything and follow Christ. Am I wrong?
Well, let me share my testimony. I was studying law, and the Lord told me to go to America for a season. And I went there and I encountered the Lord. You know, the Lord was so specific to me, and he called me, and I came back and I thought, okay, I'm leaving everything and following the Lord. The first thing I was called by family members was bewitched. You know, how can he leave law to follow what? God. How?
We are all following him with our jobs. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was. Yo, I remember just in that season thinking, well, did I maybe perhaps tell them that I'm becoming a drunkard or something? Because the perception that I was going to leave something that is financially solid to follow God was so offensive that even family members who I hadn't spoken to in 20 years picked up the phone and called me and said, dude, you're being bewitched. Go back and study law. And this is real. This is what literally happened to me. So you're right, Letitia. When a man wants to leave what is seen as financially secure to follow Jesus, like it says in that scripture, oh boy, that boy is going to be met with a lot of questions. You are going to have to explain, why are you following Jesus over cash? We'll be back.
You know, as we talk about men and their stuff and the amount of value that we put in material possessions, it gets me thinking so much about other parts of how this can explode, right? You're being told that if you can't tithe financially, you can't give money at church. I'm talking about men. It means that you somehow have less value than the other people in the pews, and it makes you feel a certain way as a man that you can't contribute financially. But when I think about the home, because remember, we're all programmed. The women are programmed to see men a certain way, and men are programmed to see themselves a certain way. Mm. We say, marry the man that will provide, marry the man that will make you feel financially secure. That's a very big thing more than ever before. It's a big thing now. It's created some very, very dangerous cultures around how we pick spouses as women. Then we get married, and something is missing. We don't know what's missing. The money is there, but something is missing. And we realize that, wait a minute, emotionally, this dude has checked out completely. Mm. Financially, everything is great. Spiritually, he's checked out completely. Mm. And I think what's sad about this is, as it relates to the kingdom, when I say God wants more than your stuff, God wants a relationship with you, you can't even come to Jesus and say, this is how many people I saved in your name. He will say, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. And that's a very big sign that Jesus wants you, not even the things you can bring in his name. He wants you. Mm. In your home, as men, there are a lot of women that just want you, but they don't know how to communicate it because they were told if you provide, they'll be happy. Mm. So you find that as a wife, you feel unfulfilled. You feel like you're raising the kids by yourself. There are marriages where you're a single mother while you're married. Mm. Why? Because he's not involved with the kids at all. If it's dinner time, you're running around, you're screaming at them. He's somewhere reading a newspaper, completely disengaged from the family life. That can be a result, based on what I'm hearing today, of someone who has checked out emotionally. They don't even go to church. They don't pray for you. You don't pray together. And I think for me, as a woman and a wife and as a mother, it's alarming to hear the world that men grow up in, because I do want a man that prays for me and covers the children, prays with me. I do want a man that is emotionally available. I do want a man who understands that his value to me and to the kids is beyond what he can provide. Mm. But when I choose you because of what you can provide, I'm not messaging to you that I need you beyond that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
And I think a lot of us in our marriages, we find ourselves in that trap. How do you think a woman can communicate to her husband that, I know we've pushed a lot on your ability to provide financially, but we need you to be present and we need you spiritually?
I think this is the dilemma. Mm. I think this is the dilemma, because you have men working crazy hours to keep up with this level of provision that's been put on them. You know, whether it's to take children to a certain type of school or to have a certain type of car, to work the kind of job that will pay that level of salary, just means that the parent or the husband is now absent from the home, you know, and it becomes hard for them to disengage with that world, because that world is what they've been told they need to keep up for the family.
I have a question for the ladies this morning. It's going to be a difficult one. Are you willing to lose a little to gain a lot? For those of you who are in a situation where he provides, but he's completely disengaged, would you change your lifestyle to have an emotionally available husband? So, Danny, I want you to start talking to the men that don't have the stuff. Let's start with them. We'll talk about the men with the stuff just now. If you don't have the stuff, the material things that society says makes you a man, makes you a good man, or even makes you a man of God, because that's another aspect of things, ne? If you're with God, you drive the cars, you live in the houses. But when we look in scripture, that's not necessarily the case. Some people are called to be in the mountains and do that kind of work. Mm. Living in a society where you are constantly told that you are what you can physically bring to the table. Ne? Danny, what do you bring to the table? Eh? I am the table, okay? This is the society that we live in. How do you communicate the truth of God's image of a man without stuff?
Well, first I'd like to encourage men, like what God has always said, and this is a principle, you know, he who is faithful over little will be ruler over much, you know, and what the Lord is trusting you with, what you are entrusted with, does not have to be millions. It doesn't have to be the palace. But man, the first thing you are entrusted with is yourself. Mm. You know, can you love yourself without the stuff? Can you see yourself from a right perspective when you are down and out? I'll never forget a season in my life. This is even before I met my wife. This was at a time when we were in a business, and you know, the business was doing well, and suddenly a recession hit the country, and man, it caught us off guard, you know. And I remember just finding myself in a very low position, you know, and I was in a taxi, you know, this my car was parked at home, couldn't put petrol in the car. I'd taken a taxi, and I remember just wanting to get off. I literally asked the taxi to drop me off at a place that was dangerous. And, you know,
why?
Because I was just tired. I thought, you know, get off here. Maybe something happens to you along the way, and, you know, then you don't have to deal with this hardship anymore. Mm. But unbeknown to me, a friend of mine was sitting at the back of the taxi. So he asked, why are you getting off here? Mm. And I couldn't answer him, you know. And, you know, that was just that moment where I realized, like, what are you even doing? You know, I remember continuing getting home. You know, we walked together, and then I continued walking by myself. And I just broke down, and I was telling the Lord, like, Father, I have nothing. And he asked me very clearly, if you have me, am I enough for you? Mm. And I believe that question was so deep. It was a moment of reckoning for me where I was like, have I really bought into this idea so much that God is no longer enough? Mm. You know, that even my life is no longer enough if it doesn't come with certain perks and all of that. And I believe from that night, the decision I made in my heart was, if I have the Lord, then I have my treasure.
Mm.
You know, the Lord really became my treasure. And I remember post that, it's almost been like that decision has carried me. And I want to ask the man listening, you know, if you have nothing today, nothing in your pocket, nothing, no home under your name, is the Lord still sufficient for you? Or has the stuff become your identity more than Him?
You're listening to Wholehearted. That's We Are Messengers. And they're featuring KB on this one. You're on Impact 103 with the Vambilis. And today we've been talking about men and their stuff. And shortly before we took a break, Danny made some very powerful statements about feeling so down and out that he was putting his life in danger because he felt that he was a failure. And I think that statement is really the crux of today's show. And you could ask yourself, why are we doing a show like this? But I've been seeing headlines internationally about men who have done harm to themselves, their wives, and their entire families because they actually bought in. So we just talked about men who don't have the stuff, who need to understand that you still have value to God, even if the world convinces you that you have no value. But you can buy so much into the idea that you have to be the provider, that when there is nothing, and I see outrage on social media all the time, when you hear of a man who's harmed his five kids because he felt like he couldn't provide anymore and they were living in a car. And people are upset. They say things like, if you felt that way, deal with yourself. Leave the kids out of it. But I don't think we understand the level of programming that we are going through in the world, particularly men, as it relates to today's episode, and feeling like if you and your three kids now live in a car, we have primed men to see that as the height of failure. And at the point that something like that happens to you, does the voice of God speak above the voice of the world to say, you have value? And a lot of the times we don't help each other within the marriage. You know, Danny, you and I often say we are so unkind to each other in our marriages, and we're so much kinder to people outside. If you've got a friend that lost their job and they're living with you, they're sleeping on your couch, you're going to be so supportive for the time that they're there. Friend, you can do it. I know nobody is cold, but you can do it. But when it comes to our spouses, if your husband loses the job and they're the ones on the couch, it's much harder to be empathetic because you're directly affected by their lack of income. But I think if we understand the programming that men already receive from the world, we will understand as those spouses to say, I can't add to that. And I think that's what's so dangerous. As we cover each other in Christ Jesus within our marriages, we are unfortunately not marrying perfect Christians who are walking with the word without the influence of the world. And I think that's the biggest shock of Christian marriages. You're walking in thinking, but this is a believer. He knows the word. He should not be behaving like this. And we completely take for granted your believer husband is a part of the world. And the world has done a number on your husband. And as the wife, you can either add to the load of the world, or as a couple, you can decide to change the story and make your home about the word and not all this programming from the world.
I remember, and I want to give this example, you know, because I think wives need to hear this. There was a time in our lives when the Lord spoke to us to live by faith, and it was really getting hard, you know, and that voice of the world was creeping in. And I remember just feeling like, man, I need to do something, you know. And you know, when you get into that I need to do something mindset as a man, I was ready to get any job just so that we're not going through that as a family, you know. And I remember my wife just really telling me in that season that, you know what, Danny, yes, you're my husband, but you're not my provider. The Lord is my provider. I don't want you to get out of His will to provide for us as a family, because I'm not putting that pressure on you. If you do that, then that's you doing that for yourself. And I remember those words just being very liberating and allowing me to wait on the Lord. Because I've heard wives tell their husbands, you know, I know what the Lord said, but you better make a plan. you, my husband.
A man,
you
know, make a plan. You must a plan, make.
You must a plan, make. So I really want to encourage the wives, you know, because there were jobs I could have taken. There was empty what God was calling us for in that season. But with the encouragement and the support of my wife, I could stay strong and wait on the Lord. Now. And that's Unspoken with God Help Me. And oh boy, do we need help.
Oh, we sure do. And I'm glad things were not left unspoken today. I think the most important thing for me about today's show is to realize that as men and women, especially as it relates to walking together in covenant and in marriage, we are not these perfect Christians who have married with the word to a degree that the world no longer affects us. And I think that was one of my biggest shocks in marriage to a Christian, because we enter marriage and we think, but you're a believer, you should know these things. And we don't acknowledge enough that your believer husband, has been worked by the world. The world has done stuff to your husband. The world has done stuff to your wife. And within these marriages, we as spouses can either add to the pressure that the world puts on our spouses, or we can add the truth of the Word of God and give our spouses a different experience of being a man or a woman in this world.
Yep, I think, yeah, that's a very loaded statement.
You said you actually, we did a provision thing when we didn't have much, where I said that God was our provision and not you.
Yes, and you know, I think for me, a starting point, from a point of view of a husband, you know, we need our wives to help us, you know, to decolonize this mind with all the stuff that the world has colonized us with. And I spoke about this in our last link, what my wife had said to me that really helped set me free from that pressure. You know, so we have to walk in unity, being aware of the messages that the world is trying to bring into our marriages and into our lives. So as we wrap up the show, we want to pray and encourage all the men, you know, killing this mindset is killing pride within you. You know, and there's a reason why the Lord said when it came to Jesus that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He didn't say I'm proud of my son, you know, because being proud comes with pride and pride comes before the fall. So some of these things, my brothers, it takes killing the pride. You know, it's things that it's titles that you've learned to identify with, that you've put on your shoulder as part of your identity, that the Lord is telling you to let go of. You know, it's positions that keep you away from home, that the Lord is saying you need to let go of. And the Lord's not telling you quit your job and just become nothing. But look at brothers like James Dobson, who started focus on the family simply because he cut down on time away from home to focus on his family. You know, so all of us are being challenged in one way or another to stand for the kingdom of God and to prioritize our families. It's easy to say, it's the world communicating to us. But the Bible also is very clear that when we're tempted by the desires of our heart. Maybe you also want to appeal to the world. Well, it's time for us to say goodbye. Thank you so much. Next week, you can catch us right here We're talking about women and their stuff. Let's quickly pray for all the men out there. Father God, we just want to pray for our men that you will help us to lay aside these heavy weights that have been put on us by the world. Oh Lord, that we will use you as our standard. Father, give us the wisdom to provide for our families, not at the cost of our families. Lord, to put you first in everything we do and to make you our identity over what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Like Danny said, next week we're talking about women and their stuff and how we are programmed by the world versus what the Word of God is telling us to do and to be. So don't worry if you felt like today was unfair. We're going to have our moment next week. And next week is particularly important because we are back live in studio, so you can catch us between 11 and 1 p.m.